Back Talk is an extension of the long-running, award-winning movie review show, It's Movie Time, which airs Fridays at 4:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM, Columbus, Ohio. Hosted by John DeSando, this podcast version features additional content and banter with guests.
I'm John DeSando.
And I'm the guest, Mary Urena.
And this is Back Talk. You brought me a strange one.
In title and in production.
Yeah, Strange World. It's a Disney.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And what makes it Disney?
It's animated.
I got it.
And I think the attempt was made to have it not only amaze you with its animation, but to touch you with its story.
Yes. And is it a touching story?
It tried to be.
Okay.
I think in this case, there's been a lot of hype about this film. One is, and it's because it tanked at the box office. It opened Thanksgiving weekend. You would think a family-focused animated film from Disney would do quite well. But there's been some controversies surrounding it in terms of did Disney market this film enough and appropriately?
I think they didn't. Yes.
Yeah. And the reasons for that have led to some controversy and hype in the media. So one of the reasons I suggested we see this film was to see what all that hype was about and whether or not, at its core, is it the film? Because Lightyear was released earlier this year and did not do well.
Right.
Even though it was on the coattails of the Toy Story series of films. And in this case, it's a completely original work. Yeah. So what's all the fuss about?
And just to partner on what you have said, I've heard that they backed away from marketing because they thought they had a loser and they just weren't going to pump it up. At least as you say, there is controversy about it. And for a Disney film, it's probably not good.
Probably not good, especially given, for over 50, close to 100 years, approaching 100 years, we've been trained to expect a certain standard from Disney, and I think also a certain standard from the Disney studio known as Pixar. Mm-hmm. And I felt when I started watching this film, one, it clearly borrows from Up. You open with the backstory and these sepia-toned scenes that are trying to set up the dynamics of the intergenerational relationships that are to come in the film. And unfortunately, in this case, the characters don't really... In that opening sequence, you understand the dynamics, but you don't understand the hearts.
Yeah.
And in Up, you had an opening sequence of almost 10 minutes where nothing was spoken, but you understood the heart of the characters. And I think that's really what's missing in this film is we follow the Clater family into adventures and quests and the intergenerational relationship between Jaeger Clater, who's voiced by Dennis Quaid, and his son, Searcher Clater.
Okay, so you're putting an R on that, on the last name.
Oh, Clade, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We need to re-record that.
Let's just go back just a little bit to,
Okay.
Yeah.
You'll edit this out.
Yeah.
So we have Jaeger Clade, the father, who's the adventurer, to the extent that he's so focused that that's all he focuses on is his adventure.
There is that intergenerational, which I really think is a major theme here.
Oh,
that
absolutely.
Conflict between him and his son.
Searcher.
But it's pretty facile when you think about it.
Yes.
Because then we lose Dad for 25 years.
We do. And you don't know what's happened to him, but you do know what's happened to Searcher, who has discovered this plant that enables their land of Avalonia to move from being pre-industrial age to industrial age. They now have energy. They have power.
Yes.
He becomes a hero in his own right, just like his dad was a hero, because his dad was trying to get beyond the mountains of their land to see what was beyond. And I think the problem is that maybe it has to do with the gender, but I felt like the conversations that set up the dynamic between Jaeger and Searcher are very shallow and don't go very deep. And maybe that's the way men really are, but it doesn't work in a film.
Well, yeah. And they do have a good setup because Dad, voiced by, very well, I thought, by Dennis Quaid.
Yes.
Is an explorer and hardly attached to any of the virtues that I think Disney is trying to put across about conservation. And the son, voiced by Jake Gyllenhaal, again, their voices are terrific in this film. He's a stay-at-home, and really, like many sons, does not want to be like his dad.
Right.
And there are moments in this animation where he realizes he is more like his dad than he would like to think.
Which I think is the mass realization we all have.
I know.
But again, there was no emotional pull behind the realization. And so the film really acts depth because we do come back to, for reasons that create a quest of Jaeger and Searcher coming together again. But now we have Searcher's son, Ethan.
The grandson.
Yes. Oh. And
don't you think he's a combo of the two, of dad and grandpa?
He certainly is. He's also biracial because Searcher's wife is black.
Another.
And Searcher is white.
Yeah.
And I did like that they treated the different races of the people. The governor of Avalonia is female and appears to be non-white or biracial. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's never really clearly identified that I recall. And then you also have Ethan, who is in the LGBTQ community. They introduce that he has his first crush on a friend, Diazo. And I like the fact that they just handled these all very matter-of-factly.
Yeah.
They didn't make a big deal of any of them. But I do think it may come as a surprise for people who may take younger children to see the film if they are concerned about or have a different worldview.
The Ethan character is the first time that Disney has ever had anybody come out and gay.
Yes.
And this is, as you are saying, and probably the only way they can handle it is by not paying attention to it, but just letting it.
Just let it be, because that's the way it exists in the world, and that's the way it exists in this
and
world.
And he's a cute character with the dimples. And my gosh, he is really...
Who, Diazo or Ethan?
Ethan. Right. Yeah, Diazo, they got a little stereotyping on Diazo, but But still, it's handled so well and that it does take you a moment to realize, my goodness, this is Disney.
Yes.
And while there being nothing salacious about it, it just is a little bit shocking for a very straightforward conservative film company. This is, Brand, and I think, Mary, maybe from your introductory comments, this is one of the reasons that people are staying away.
Well, the conservative media have certainly portrayed it that way and have certainly portrayed it as, see, this is what you get when you, you know, try and do this in media and Disney are being punished for this, is kind of the tone of the conservative media. And I think that's a little unfair. I think when a film doesn't do well at the box office or do well on streaming ratings, it's a complex issue of that. For example, Disney, which is undergoing a CEO change again, positioned this film between Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, and Avatar, The Way of Water.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's in a place where they're not going to promote it as well as those other two films.
Sure.
And they also made a decision to take it into theaters when I think the animation of it certainly warrants it. The world that they create in this strange world, as they go on this quest to find out why Pondo, this energy, agricultural energy source that Searcher discovered, why it's dying.
And apparently Disney owns Pandora.
Oh, well, there you go. they go on this quest, which is how they reunite with Jaeger. And you have all those elements of a traditional story, but I lost my train of thought.
Well, we've got a lot of Jules Verne here.
Yes,
we do.
We're
going toward the center of the earth. And you're reminding me that three of the, ethnically centered films, Mulan.
Moana.
And Canto are all very firmly placed in their own cultures.
Yes.
So cross-culturing like this with multinational characters is a bit of
it's a bit of a stretch.
Yeah.
And not common for a Disney film to not have that anchor. So we don't have an anchor of culture. We don't have an anchor of a heroine or a hero. Because it's intergenerational, you have three characters, none of which hold the center of the film, which I think makes it challenging as well. But from an animation standpoint, it is beautiful. This film cost $180 million to make.
Can you stop there? Because
that's just to make
we're
it.
We're gonna take this to Backtalk.
Okay.
And that's where people can hear more about what we have to say about this slightly controversial film and called Strange World. And Mary, what would you advise our audience?
I think it's a film that's worth seeing, but perhaps wait till you're streaming it on a very large screen TV so that you can so appreciate the beauty of the animation of the Strange World.
Yes, and I can see you stopping and explaining to your kids what's going on. I think it's a very good teaching moment.
Absolutely.
Mary, you just mentioned $180 million?
It's one of the more expensive animated films that Disney Studios has ever produced. Unfortunately, I think they spent about $178 million on the animation, which is gorgeous,
yes,
and only about $2 million on the story development.
The story. Yeah, I was trying to put down all the fantastic creatures and surroundings. I mean, they're going, the strange world of the title is the world that they're going down to try to figure out what happened to Pando, right?
Right. Why is Pando, this agricultural product of energy, dying off? And so their quest is to go beneath the surface of the earth and try and find that out and correct it if they can.
One of the neat things about the film is the obvious allegory. And in this case, it would be our dependence on oil.
Climate change, our dependence on oil, too much of a good thing.
Right, yes.
There are several allegories and teachable moments.
Yes, there are.
In the film.
Yeah. And what you had mentioned earlier in the show about the intergenerational struggle. And I think that there's something there about which we know we learn as we grow older, but they're making us aware that kids have often good things to say and do if we as adults will pay attention to them.
That is true. And Ethan does become the conscience of the quest in terms of what they actually need to do. And certainly his father, Searcher, comes to that conclusion rather quickly. And it's a beautiful story from the perspective that it borrows heavily from the Turtle Island legend of Native Americans. And if you do not know what that is, we actually have that illustrated in the Sisters' Garden at Innes Woods Metro Park near Westerville. But I was disappointed that with all the other things that the film did with regards to very matter-of-fact treatment of interracial marriages, multiracial children, intergenerational relationships between grandfather, father, and grandson. I actually watched all of the credits for this film, and I was very disappointed that they appropriated the Turtle Island legend story from Native Americans without giving it credit. And I think that was a faux pas on Disney's part to not do that.
I wonder if it was a conscious decision.
I hope not.
I know.
I hope it was just ignorance.
Yeah.
Because that can be corrected.
Yes. Besides their pink trees, I'm trying, and we have, a lot of steampunk.
Yes.
In their world. Avalonia, I think.
Yes.
Which is really cute.
It's very cute. And it looks wonderful played out in this rich animation that we've come to expect from Disney.
Yeah. Father-son relationships.
Mm-hmm.
I remember strongly a father-daughter, Little Mermaid and others, that relationships, but I'm not sure that I remember the last time that Disney brought forward the struggle that can go between a father and a son. And I just think that's, again, another a new move on their part.
Yes.
Another one where, as I think you and I would agree, they just don't give enough to it. They're so busy with that animation.
Yes.
Not to say that it isn't beautiful, but I think you are absolutely right. How about the story gang?
Yes. And, you know, and that's true of any film. You're a storyteller. It always comes back to the script and the story. And if you don't get that right, it doesn't matter how richly animated or how beautifully acted it is. It's not going to be as successful an art form as it could have been. I think the premise for the story is wonderful and the animation is so beautiful, but it comes back to the story.
Yeah,
and it just didn't hit the depth and center that it needed to emotionally.
Yeah. I think one observation that I like very much is kind of looking at the different levels and the allegorical levels that we were talking about. And so they would have us looking at conservation, sustainability, mm-hmm. and inclusion as three of the major parts of this. And then as they look at characters, Jaeger, the grandpa, is the symbol of conquest, right? He's just steamrolling his way through.
Right.
And then Searcher as the emblem of control and taking everything that you have and controlling it. He's very much concerned about leaving. And then Ethan, a peaceful coexistence.
Yes.
How about that, huh?
Yes. You're very perceptive. You got more out of it than I did.
No. And this is not only mine, but others who have looked at it. And I was, because I so respect your opinion, I said, this is one I wouldn't have thought of. We have done animations before, Fantastic Mr. Fox and so on, but
right.
not in a lot.
You and I have not.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I was glad to have the opportunity
yeah.
to explore an animated film.
Yeah, and even in the show, I don't.
Not often
do that. So I was very happy to get this one and very happy to see that it would be, for us at least, controversial. And that it had to be controversial if it wasn't making anything, because there's so much that's really good about this.
There is a lot that's good. And like we've discussed, the animation is so beautiful. And this strange world and what you're looking at and what you ultimately are come to realize what it is.
Yes.
It really, from a child's perspective, I think is absolutely wonderful. There is some humor in this film, as there typically is with animation geared towards children and wanting to keep the attention of adults as well. But it was a little too few and far between.
Well, yeah, I think when I think of Pixar's ability to create, the Splat was an interesting little character.
Splat was an interesting character, and it's one of the creatures in the strange world, and actually befriends Ethan.
Yes.
And Splat becomes an integral part of the humor aspect of it.
Yes.
The other one is the dog Legend.
Oh,
the
yes.
family
Thank
dog
you.
Legend, which stows away on the quest. But he and Splat end up having a relationship of friends, because dogs will pretty much be friends with anyone who's kind to them. And Splat and Legend both have, I think, some really funny moments that keep the humor going through the film. Not so much through the dialogue or interaction of the characters, but it's really, the human characters, it's really Splat and Legend.
Yeah, and Legend just knocks me out, because this is typical Disney and Pixar. They'll take a three-legged dog, and this dog has more energy than anybody else in the film. And I just love it. They infuse it with character, with
yes.
personality.
Yes.
And they're geniuses at doing this stuff.
Yes. Well, and let's face it, dogs have great personalities and usually tons of energy. And to part of the inclusiveness is that this is a special needs dog that has three legs. They don't tell you why Legend has three legs. It's just treated
I know. There's no backstory on Legend.
Which is so, but Legend and Splat together, I think, add that light touch of humor that you need in these stories.
Well, Mary, I'm thinking that what I'm going to recommend is that if people want a heady animation, one that might require you to think a little bit, and one that probably has too much going on, but this is for people who like to kind of see what's going on inside something, would have a good time with it. I think, as you suggested, there are moments when parents and kids could really look at this together and figure out what's going on, even under the premise that Disney has perhaps tried too much in this. I think it is. It's just overwhelming. The number of themes, the visual content, all of it is pretty. But for a family, a family that's used to talking together and looking at movies together and talking about them, I think this is fair game.
I would agree. Yeah. And I think it's also great for those who appreciate just stunning animation.
Yes.
It is a story. It's a good story. It doesn't hit the mark, as we've discussed, what we would expect, but it has a lot of great things to offer. But does it stand up to the really great Pixar and previous Disney animation films we've seen? No, this is more of an average film, but it's still worth seeing for the reasons we've discussed.
Challenging, I think, is the word. It's a challenging film, and how many times can you say that about a movie? Not that many times.
Not that many.
Particularly a family movie. But I think this is PG.
I think it's
PG.
It better be, because when I saw it, there were a ton of little kids in the audience.
Very good. All right. Oh, it's Strange World.